जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी तोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवदधारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना चिरवन चारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवदधारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना चिरवन चारी जय रथ माधव कुंज बिहारी तोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवदधारी यशोरनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना चिरवन चारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवदधारी जय राध माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवदधारी
जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत्य श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय इस कॉन्फाउंडर आचार्य डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री प्रभुपाद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर की जय नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतरश्मिते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी के नाम नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी वचालने निर्विशेष शून्य बड़े भाषा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Chapter 12, text number 35. So we'll read and chant this verse, speak a little bit about it, and then we'll have some discussion on the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, we begin our study of Srimad Bhagavatam daily, following in the footsteps of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who sings this nice bhajan given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. So every day is an opportunity for us to meditate upon our connection with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and the entire parampara. So the word meanings for text number 35, tat, that celebration performed by the demigods in the upper planetary system, adbhuta, wonderful, strotra, stotra, prayers, suvadya, glorious musical sounds of drums and other instruments, gitika, celestial songs, jaya adi, songs of jaya, etc. Na eka utsava, celebrations simply for glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mangala svanan, transcendental sounds auspicious for everyone, shutva, hearing such sounds, swadamna, from his abode, anti, nearby, aja, Lord Brahma, agata, coming there, achirat, very soon, drishtva, seeing, mahi, the glorification, ishasya, of Lord Krishna, jagama, vishmayam, became astonished. Tadabhuta strotra suvadya gitika. Jayadi nai kotsava mangala swanan. Sudva swadam non jaja agato chirad. Drishtva mahishasya jagama vishmaya. Tadadbhuta strotra suvadya gitika. Jayadi nai kotsava mangala swanan. Shudva swadam non chaja agato chirad. Drishtva mahishasya jagama vishmaya. Tadabhuta strotra suvadya gitika. Jayadi nai kotsava mangala swanan. Shudva swadam non chaja agato chirad. Drishtva mahishasya jagama vishmaya. Ladies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, jai, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. Purport. Hear the word Anti means near, indicating that even in the higher planetary systems near Brahmaloka, like Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapaloka, the festival of glorification of Lord Krishna was going on. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chuksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, the celebration is of Krishna killing and liberating the Agasura demon. And that glorification apparently is going on or heard throughout the universe. It's interesting note on the nature of the universe and the living entities who populate the universe. It's interesting to note that as they do on the higher planetary systems, similarly it's done in these middle planetary systems, and indeed throughout the entire universal creation. It's a very nice example here. Lord Brahma, he heard the glorification, the musical instruments, the sound. The word for word gives us some indication here. Svavajya, the glorious musical sounds of drums and other instruments. So he heard the drums and kartals, let's say, and he was attracted, and he came there to see what was going on. So the same thing happens here. It happened in Lake City yesterday. Devotees were sitting, they were doing kirtan, kartals and mridanga, and people heard it and they came to see what's going on. Just like Lord Brahma, he came to see what was going on, the glorification of the Lord. So here we have experience, all of us. When people hear the kirtan, they think, oh, let me go and see what's going on here. Of course, they may not understand it's glorification of the Lord, of Lord Krishna, but they get the opportunity by the Lord's devotees and mercy to be instructed in that way. Keshava Prabhu was mentioning how they were there, and my wife also had went with them, and so she was telling me yesterday how she met one lady there that was like this, attracted by the sound, and came up. And then when she came close and she heard that it was glorification of Lord Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh no, no, not Hare Krishna, she said. Not Hare Krishna. She didn't want Hare Krishna, although she was embracing Krishna by saying not Hare Krishna. Just by the name coming on her tongue, in response to hearing the chanting, she's joined the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, this type of glorification with songs and instruments, why is it so important? Why is it so attractive? Actually, song and dance, song and dance, and especially when there's musical accompaniment, these things have a way of attacking, or not attacking, but embracing our heart. Our feelings and emotions are more easily expressed in song and dance, accompanied by nice musical instruments. Therefore, this kirtan is a very suitable vehicle for bhakti to be relished by us and by others. Because devotional service or bhakti yoga is meant for expressing our emotions, our desires, our emotions of love for Krishna. And so that's easily facilitated by bhajan, singing, especially with nice instrumentation. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his movement, particularly for the fallen conditioned souls, it's important that they get an opportunity to hear the singing and chanting of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he took to the streets. I was a little late this morning, but generally when Bhadra leads kirtan, he sings this nice bhajan that describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself taking to the streets with song and dance accompanied by musical instruments to attract the fallen conditional souls. Udila arana purababhage, dvijamani gora amani jage, pakata samuha loya sate, gela nagara braje. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to read the next one because that's the most, yes. Tatai, tatai, vajalako, gana gana, jatai, jajere rol. Premi dala dala sonara anga, charana nupura bhaje. I'm sure he did. Just that second stanza, I want to read the English. The mridanga resounded, tatai, tatai, and the jajas. Large metal kartals that look like small cymbals. So the mridanga resounded, tatai, tatai, and the jajas in that kirtan played in time. Lord Gauranga's golden form slightly trembled in ecstatic love of Godhead, and his foot bells jingled. So his emotions were given to us. All that saw him in kirtan, because his transcendental emotions were displayed through song and dance, it was very attractive. And indeed, the love from his heart entered the heart of all those who were attracted by such wonderful sound vibration, such a wonderful celebration. This, by the way, is another bhajan by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And indeed, I want to make the bridge from the discussion of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to a little bit of the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because we know that in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, bhajan was very important. He wrote so many wonderful songs glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorifying Lord Sri Krishna, glorifying the devotees, precisely because it pleased his heart so much. His heart is there. His spiritual emotions are there in his bhajans. And we can take advantage of them by hearing and singing these ourselves. Of course, we don't have to be such expert musicians or wonderful singers to do this. Even in our own humble way, we can and we should try to recite and sing these bhajans and pray to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we may get some of his mercy by reciting the verses that he chanted. This is the real purpose of joining the kirtan. Not just that we go for a nice musical recitation and we enjoy a musical presentation of kirtan. It's not the purpose of kirtan. The purpose of kirtan is to glorify the Supreme Lord, to reciprocate with the Supreme Lord by offering our own emotions into the sound vibration. Therefore, you'll find our Madhava Prabhu, when he leads kirtan, what is the famous thing that he says?
From your heart.
Yes, with your heart. With your heart. That's how you have to participate. With your heart. Not necessarily with musical skill, with mridanga or kartals. Not just for entertainment, but with our heart means to offer our love to Krishna in this way. That's the facility given to us by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's what really makes it attractive to the devotee. Again, not just the wonderful instrumentation and things, but the actual holy name and opportunity to exchange with the Lord. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so many of the bhajans we sing as part of our regular devotional practice have come from him. And we can take advantage of those every day, but especially a day like today, to pray to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we may be able to get a little of his mercy, his help, in developing our love for Krishna and expressing our love for Krishna. There's another bhajan by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that similarly talks about how his heart is engladdened and enriched in love of Krishna by the sound of the mridanga particularly. This is the bhajan Sudha Bhakata, which is in Saranagati, and stanza number 4 there. Mridanga bhajya sunita mana abhasara sachi sadara jache gora bihita kirtane suni ananda hridoya nache. He says that my mind always begs for the opportunity to hear the music of the mridanga. Upon hearing the kind of kirtan ordained by Lord Gaurachandra, my heart dances in ecstasy. In the song, this version of the songbook, there's a footnote here, and I'll just read what it says. The congregational chanting instituted by Lord Chaitanya is full of the conclusions of pure bhakti. It is completely devoid of all elements opposing pure bhakti and is free from rasa-bhasa or overlapping mellows. In this connection, see Chaitanya Charitamrita Ancha Lila 597-100. So, this is can give us a glimpse into the ecstasy that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was experiencing in his life, just hearing the mridanga. Mridanga, kolan, kartal. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, kol and kartal. Of course, harmonium is also nice. The harmonium added in and used for chanting. But particularly the mridanga and the kartals are important for this type of glorification that we find here, that goes on in the higher planetary systems, that goes on in these middle planetary systems, and undoubtedly, or hopefully, goes on in the lower planetary systems as well. So, this type of chanting was predicted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to have influence in this age of Kali. So I want to read to you from the Seventh Goswami, this biography by Rupa Vilas Prabhu of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's a short section about his predictions, and you'll see it carries the same kind of theme. He said that, he wrote in Sajjana Toshini, Sriman Mahaprabhu did not descend with his associates to deliver a certain number of human beings in the land of India, but rather his purpose was to deliver and uplift all living beings in all countries of the world by practicing the eternal religion of all souls. And then the famous prediction we know that he made. When will, he says, that there are many kinds of religions in the world, and among all of them, the highest development of religion is the congregational chanting of the Supreme Lord's divine names. Of this there is no doubt. Alas, when will that day come when all greatly fortunate souls in countries such as England, France, Russia, Prussia, and America take up banners, kettle drums, mridangas, and kartals, and thus cause the ecstatic waves of Harinam Kirtan and the singing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name to rise in the streets of their towns and cities. Oh, when will that day come when pure and transcendental Vaishnava Prema will be the only religion of all souls, and all tiny sectarian religions will meet in the unlimited and universal religion of Vaishnavism as rivers merge into the great ocean. Oh, when will that day come? So, in a sense, we are part of and are witnessing tremendous events in the history of this world, the history of this universe, and seeing the predictions of such a great soul. These great souls are trikalagya. They can see past, present, and future. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur could predict, and accurately predict, that devotees from all over the world would come and they'd be chanting and they'd spread the name through this Harinam Sankirtan. One tip for you all is that if you ever are, you know, a little bored and want to get enlivened or something, go to dandabats.com. And on dandabats.com, on the side column, they have a little feature they've added of pictures from different Harinams and things around the world. And you can click and see the devotees doing Harinam in Russia. You can click and see the doing Harinam in Peru, you can look all over the world, you'll see devotees fitting the description given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who are giving people the chance to hear the holy name of the Lord and having ecstatic kirtan throughout the streets of the cities of all over the world. It's you can't come away from that little exercise without a wonderful smile on your face, seeing the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Seeing the work of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, blossoming all over the world. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this prediction, among others, and we're seeing them manifest as well. Other things about the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I found particularly interesting and useful to encourage myself in devotional service. One thing I had marked here was the schedule that Keshava Bhu read a little earlier, his daily schedule. I try to focus on that every appearance and disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to try to understand how it was humanly possible to do that, what he did, to have such a schedule, such an amazing schedule. And you'll find, actually, that it's not unique to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's unique to the lives of pure Vaishnavas. Even the life of Srila Prabhupada, I shouldn't say even the life of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada in his life also, people wonder, and it came up recently in class here, how could he produce so many books? How could he produce so many books? Well, I was reading the book Art of Chanting Hare Krishna the other day, and I came across a little something that I think helped me understand how these great souls are able to do so much. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. And it was talking about chanting there. And Ma Nidhiswami, who compiled that book, was making the comment that some devotees can chant 16 rounds in an hour. Of course, that's certainly not applicable to me. More like three. But he was saying that. Then he made this statement. He said that this is due to purity of mind. Purity of mind. So with the pure mind, you can do so many things so much quicker and so much more efficiently than you can with an impure mind. So I think this is the key. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur did so much, how Srila Prabhupada did so much, how any devotee that's doing so much can actually do it. Due to purity of mind. It's like conductors of electricity. Different metals conduct electricity at different rates. Some have more resistance and some have less resistance. So obviously if you're conducting electricity, you want less resistance in the wire. It goes through quicker. More resistance means it goes through more slowly. So when our minds are contaminated and impure, it takes us longer to do anything. It takes us longer to do anything. But when our minds are pure, we can do so much in the service of Krishna. And we see from the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that in all of his activities, his bhajan, his preaching, his work as a magistrate, he was very productive in all spheres of his life. Quite an amazing feat, not just following a schedule, but being tremendously productive in all areas of his life. But what doesn't mention, he also had 12 children. You know, that's also, you know, add that in and maintaining your children and guiding them in their development of Krishna consciousness tremendously. And I think it's due to this purity of mind. Let's turn to his writings. We know that, as is the title of this book, The Seventh Goswami, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has been called the Seventh Goswami, following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And one reason that he can be said to be the seventh Goswami is based on how, not just that he produced so many books in his life, but how he approached those projects and completed them. I was reading, or I've been hearing recently from the Sri, from Bhajan Rahasya, which is one of the last works that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur compiled. And I'm going to read you a little description of this because it gives you some idea of how he structured his literary works. and why he was dubbed the seventh Goswami. This was published in 1902 by Bhajan Rahasya, which means secret of divine worship in this translation. This book was compiled by the Thakur as a supplement to his Harinam Chintamani. The Bhajan Rahasya is arranged in 8 chapters, and the chanting of each chapter is to be observed in correspondence with each 3-hour period of the 24-hour day. This description shows you how he integrated everything into this work. All of our philosophy, all the main tenets, everything is here. And it's wonderful that, you know, and you can see this purity of mind, clarity of thought, the depth of devotion it takes to understand how all the different, these elements work together in our philosophy. So, first thing is that the Astakalaya Leela here, the Lord's Leela broken into different 3-hour periods throughout the day. So each chapter of his Bhajan Rahasya corresponds to each 3-hour period of the 24-hour day. Each chapter corresponds to one verse of Sri Chaitanya's Shikshastaka and deals with one of the 8 steps in the gradual development of Krishna Bhajan, as was enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, we know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Shikshastaka, 8 instructions. So those 8 instructions, how they correspond to each 3-hour period of the 24-hour period today, the Astakalaya Leela, and how each chapter relates to the verse given by Srila Rupa Goswami, Adao Shraddha Tata Saru Sangha Bhajana Kriya, that gives the different stages, 8 stages of advancement in devotional service, how each chapter corresponds to those. And all the chapters are filled with scriptural citations in Sanskrit, uniquely explaining the philosophy of Krishna Bhajan and its practice. In addition to each Sanskrit verse, is accompanied by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own Bengali translation of the verse. And so, to be able to understand how all these different contributions that have been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Goswamis, how they all work together to form a method of worship, of chanting the holy name, is what the Bhajan Rahasya describes. And so it's a very wonderful, wonderful book. I think that Pundarik Prabhu produced one of the first English translations of this book, isn't it? Yeah. We have a mild-mannered Pundarik here. He's actually, you know, a publishing empire here. At least he was when he was in Vrindavan. He was doing that, and so he produced this book for the benefit. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also has another book, Sri Bhaktyaloka. And Bhaktyaloka is similarly traces the what? What is Bhaktyaloka? Oh, that's right. The first 2 slokas of Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. The Bhaktyaloka is an explanation of these, an elaboration of these things. And so you get the idea of how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what he wrote, what he meditated upon. It wasn't just something that he thought of, something. It was parampara. He meditated on what was given by the Goswamis, and how that could be further elaborated and explained for our benefit. This is the content of his writing. So I think that's important to know about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And let's see if I had anything else here. Of course, there's so much on his life. But I think that's all that I had prepared. Does anybody have any comments or questions or further glorification of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I can add, yes.
I just like to mention that we're very fortunate also to have Dasarath Prabhu here. You know, he has done, you know, tremendous, you know, translations and work. Actually, mm-hmm. one of my favorite books, you know, is translated by him.
I think I read one of his translations.
And I just like to mention that, you know, I was speaking with him yesterday, and he's coming to this community with a wealth of translation that they're right now getting ruined by mold. Mm. And he needs, you know, some type of, you know, service from us right now to help him preserve and, you know, to also help him, you know, keep going with his service to Srila Prabhupada. He's been doing this for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it's today, such an auspicious day, that we should actually, you know, put together some of the effort of this community so we can, you know, actually kidnap him. And, you know, make sure that he stays with us and mm-hmm. that, you know, make sure that we can take care of him. And at the same time, you know, we can relish some of the things that we don't even know that Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us that he will produce so we can, and the next generations of our community and our society can get it. So today is the Bhaktivinoda Thakura appearance day. I was talking to him yesterday about what he needs, and today is the day that his appearance, and he's one of the persons who has given us, by Prabhupada's instructing him to translate all this work. So I think that it's a very serious matter that, you know, the temple president, the board of the community, and all of us put together the effort so Dasarath Prabhu can remain close to our community and also, you know, continue to with his service, you know, to translate Bhaktivinoda Thakura's work. Mm.
Yeah, we're indebted to Dasarath Sutta Prabhu in many ways, so that's definitely not to be overlooked. So
I'm putting myself, you know, like one of the persons that I'm going to try to serve him. So if anybody can, you know, help me.
So contact you.
Like help me, help you. Help him, help Prabhupada. Thank you, Prabhu.
Dasa, dasa, anu, das.
Dasa, da, Prabhu, ki.
Yeah. Yeah, he was mentioning largest library of Bengali and Sanskrit literature that he's collected outside of India, isn't it? You were saying. Do you want to say a few words?
I know.
You know, you.
Premananda Gaur Prabhu ki jai. Such a service attitude towards the Vaishnavas. Well, that list you're reading of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, descriptions, I had composed those and sent those to Rupa Vilas. Because mm-hmm. I was able to pull them off the shelf one by one and look in chapter, do chapter summaries for him.
Oh, okay.
So I was blessed to be able to add a little input to that book.
Thank you. I'm glad it came up that I didn't miss giving you credit for your service for so many years. Thank you so much.
Comment that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Swatakur wrote. Mm. Jayavadharma culminates the entire of his writings, and after that he didn't.
So you said the last book was Jayavadharma?
According to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, comment in the introduction of Jayavadharma and the Falasruti, or the, how do you say in English, Falasruti, anyway, the result of studying Jayavadharma. And then he says that this book, it's culmination of entire his writings in one sense.
Okay.
I was going to say Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very special few teachings that are very difficult to escape.
Tamaraj.
I just want to mention that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appeared on September 2nd of 1838, and it was a Sunday, and when he was about 6 years old, he used to spend most of his time, well, he was born in an opulent circumstances, his grandfather had a big mansion, so most of his time he would be spending with one of the security guards who would tell him pastimes and descriptions of devotional service, Lord Ram, like that. And he spent most of his time. When he was 11 years old, he actually fell sick, and he went to a Muslim tantric guy to be cured. And that person told him, he appeared in the village in the town of Birunagar, and this Muslim tantric cured him, and he told him that this tongue would become so diseased that everyone would desert it, that you better leave now, and also that you would become a very great devotee of Lord Krishna. He predicted like that. Just want to mention that.
Pundrik, you had something? Pundrik, you had?
Today, I was going to say something. There's a town, if you're leaving Vrindavan, going up to Delhi, you come first at Chattikar, and then the next town is called Jait, which is named after this verse today when the demigods chanted Jai Jai, all glories to Sri Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Ki Jai, like that. So it's interesting because there's one place there that's called Jait because of that pastime, whereas the same sound was heard by Lord Brahma up in his planet.
Thank you. Anything? Please. Oh, Mother Mamai.
I just want to invite everybody to visit Mayapur and take the boat across the Jalangi River and go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And if you ask, you can go up to his room and experience standing on, well, you usually can't stand on the veranda anymore. They have it locked. But you can still look at the veranda and know that, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur stood there and made this prediction about the Westerners coming and chanting Lord Chaitanya's name, and when you, by looking across out of his veranda, what is he looking at? He's looking at ISKCON Temple, and also in his rooms, there's many wonderful things in his rooms, like a bookshelf spinning bookshelf that he designed himself, and a fan that he designed. So many things, but there's this little cubbyhole under this stairwell, or it's just like tucked away. And we've been told that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant his japa in that room. I mean, it's just like a tiny, tiny little room. He could just sit there. And he had his deities on a shelf. And we're allowed to go in there and sit there and chant. And you just really connect with Bhaktivinoda Thakur there. And just the experience of he's cutting off his external senses so he can really meditate on Lord Krishna. Amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I was always amazed by that fan. It's a kerosene-powered fan that he designed and made. It just blows like we have an electric fan. He had designed a kerosene-burning fan. It's in his room still there. Anything else? We're a little late here. One last one? Huh?
I was going to say that there's so many unlimited pastimes, but the speciality of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that three contribution that Prabhupada in the purport mentioned Chaitanya Chaitanya 1. One was that his contribution of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur as a son, who literally took over Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching and spread. Another is the Holy Dham. Holy Dham was not known. Mm-hmm. Navadvip Dham one was known, not known. and the contribution of all his over 100 books, literature. These three contributions was the biggest thing. And how even I sometimes wonder that how Srila Prabhupada on the Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, he talked 5 minutes for Lord Chaitanya and the rest of the class all about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I always think about it, why Srila Prabhupada, how much he had so much felt indebted to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Mahaprabhu's appearance day, whole class was all about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is everything for us. So in the Holy Dham, in mention, I'll just make it very short, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not just a writing through the revelation that he is inspired and by the following the acharyas. He was also very practical of time and place, how other will receive. Just an example, even Holy Dham, when he got instruction from Lord Shiva, who woke him up, and he went to Rudradeep, he paid obeisances, Lord Shiva just stood up there, he said, Kedar, why are you going to Vrindavan, you have some service to be done. Of course, there's a two pastime written. One time he paid obeisances to Lord Shiva, and then Sajujya Devi, the merging to the Brahman effulgence, is also a personality. Sajujya Devi was there, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was afraid. And Lord Shiva tapped on his back and said, no, this is not for you. You wake up. You have a service to be done. Then he was ready to go to Vrindavan, but Lord Shiva again appeared and told him that who is going to finish the job for this Holy Dham? Nobody even knows. So this is the inspiration is good, but he practically applied it that he came. On the veranda, while he was sitting there one day while chanting, then he saw this beautiful effulgence temple where Prabhupada instructed Ambarish Prabhu and other to help, which is coming up now. That when he saw that temple, he did not think. And one good thing I learned that while we see some or hear something or some thought comes, if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur assures this is real. This is one way to check. So he was checking himself that he's chanting, he's aware that he's chanting, and then he's seeing the same object, the temple. It was so beautiful. This is practically he's saying. Then he was not still convinced for others. Other may not accept it because this is his vision. Then he called his clerk. Said, do you see what I'm seeing? He didn't say where it is. So he looked it around. He said, oh, it's a beautiful temple. Where is this? So beautiful. He said, good. Then he's chanting next day. He called his son, Anada Prasad, the first child. He has two wives from first child of Anada Prasad. Said, do you see what I'm seeing? Again, same scenery came. He said, yes, father, it's a beautiful temple touching the sky. It's like a beautiful effulgence coming, Sankirtan Jagna. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very happy. But he didn't give up. He knew that the fallen soul will be there, will may not accept all this. He went next day to the Mayapur, where it was all forest and trees and everything. There was no path even. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur went, and there was the residents were mostly Muslim. Even my time, 78, 79, so it's all Muslim around. Now it's all the devotees that took over. But that time he asked everybody, why you don't grow vegetable to this area? I see only some plants. He didn't even say this is Tulasi plants or anything. Then all the Muslim, knowing him, that he is very educated, deputy magistrate, so they asked, oh, Babu means sir. We planted so many times, so many things. We rooted out all these things, but Tulsi is coming every time. So we gave up, he's wasting our time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur made it such a way, he would not just accept a theory just for himself, how it will in future, it will be applied. Then he went to the clerk in the government and he traced the record where the birthplace is, how Ganges has changed his turn. And that's what. And then, just to end it, when he established this little hut, the pujari, due to fear of the tiger and snake, he would not stay. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you have to stay. I want to pay you. He said, Babu, I smoke. He said, I'll make a biri. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made the tobacco things for him. He writes himself this. how he established. Today I'm enjoying Holy Dham Mahaprabhu, but there was a day there was nobody would even leave there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has worked so hard for
that. That's another reason why he's the seventh Goswami. Of course, you know, the sixth Goswami has excavated Vrindavan Dham, and he excavated the Navadvip Dham. Okay. Yeah.